The Buddha recalled a conversation he had had with a merchant named Sigala several years previously in Rajagaha. One morning, the Buddha left bamboo forest with his begging bowl just as daylight was breaking. He came upon a young man on a path just outside the city. Sigala was bowing to the six directions of east, west, south, north, down, and up. The Buddha stopped and asked him the purpose of his bowing. Sigala said that his father had taught him as a child to bow to the six directions every morning. He liked to obey his father's wishes, but he did not actually know the purpose for the ritual. The Buddha told him, "Bowing is a practice that can foster happiness for both the present and the future." He told Sigala that as he bowed to the east, he could contemplate gratitude to his parents. When he bowed to the south, he could contemplate gratitude to his teachers. Bowing west, he could contemplate love for his wife and children. Bowing to the north, he could contemplate love for his friends. Bowing down, he could contemplate gratitude to his co-workers. Bowing up, he could contemplate gratitude to all wise and virtuous persons. The Buddha taught Sigala the five precepts and how to look deeply at things in order to avoid acting out of greed, anger, passion, or fear. The Buddha told Sigala to avoid the six actions that lead to ruin: abusing alcohol, wandering through city streets late at night, frequenting places of gambling, visiting places of depravity, loitering with persons of poor character, and succumbing to laziness. In addition, he told Sigala how to determine who was worthy of being considered a good friend. He said, "A good friend is constant. Whether you are rich or poor, happy or sad, successful or unsuccessful, a good friend is one whose feelings for you do not waver. A good friend listens to you and shares your sufferings. He shares his own joys and sorrows with you, while regarding your joys and sorrows as his own." The Buddha continued his Dharma talk by saying, "True happiness can be realized in this very life, especially when you observe the following. 1. Foster relations with people of virtue and avoid the path of degradation. 2. Live in an environment that is conducive to spiritual practice and builds good character. 3. Foster opportunities to learn more about the Dharma, the precepts, and your own trade in greater depth. 4. Take the time to care well for your parents, spouse, and children. 5. Share time, resources, and happiness with others. 6. Foster opportunities to cultivate virtue. Avoid alcohol and gambling. 7. Cultivate humility, gratitude, and simple living. 8. Seek opportunities to be close to bhikkhus in order to study the way. 9. Live a life based on the Four Noble Truths. 10. Learn how to meditate in order to release sorrows and anxieties. The Buddha praised lay disciples who lived the teaching in their daily lives within their families and society. He made special mention of Suddhata Anathapindika. He said that Suddhata was an exemplary one who devoted all his efforts to creating a life full of meaning, service, and happiness. Suddhata's heart was truly deep. His entire life had been guided by the teaching. The Buddha said that people who owned far greater wealth than Suddhata would not find it easy to match the happiness he had created. For others, Suddhata's wife, Punalakana, was moved to tears by the Buddha's praise of her husband. She stood up and respectfully addressed the Buddha. Lord, a wealthy person's life is often very busy, especially when he owns many things. I think that maintaining a small and modest vocation would be more conducive to spiritual practice. When we see the bhikkhus, free of home and family, who own little more than a bowl, we long for a more simple, carefree life ourselves. We would like to live a leisurely life too, but we are bounded by so many responsibilities. What can we do? The Buddha answered, Punalakana, bhikkhus have responsibilities too. A celibate life requires a bhikkhu to live mindfully by the precepts day and night. A bhikkhu devotes his life to others. Lay disciples, the Tathagata wishes to suggest a way by which you can taste the life of a bhikkhu twice a month or so. We shall call this practice the 8 observances for the laity. Twice a month, you can come to the temple and follow these practices for a day and a night. Like the bhikkhus, you will eat only one meal. You can practice sitting and walking meditation. For 24 hours, you can enjoy a celibate, aware, concentrated, relaxed, peaceful, and joyous life as if you were a monk or a nun. When the day is over, you can return to your secular life, observing the 5 precepts and the 3 refuges as usual. Lay disciples, the Tathagata will inform the bhikkhus about the 8 observances for the laity. These special days of practice can be organized at temples or even in your own homes. You can invite bhikkhus to your homes to administer the 8 observances and to offer teaching on your day of practice. Punalakana was pleased with the Buddha's suggestion. She asked, "Please, Lord, what are the 8 observances?" The Buddha answered, "Do not kill, do not steal, do not engage in sexual activity, do not lie, do not use alcohol, do not adorn yourself with jewelry, do not sit or lie on a fancy bed, and do not use money. These 8 observances can prevent forgetfulness and confusion. Eating only one meal on the day of your practice will allow more time for your practice." The people were happy with the Buddha's suggestion for special days of practice for the laity.